now here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, it won't be long now. Monday is the day. Monday's the big day. The Lloyd Bonafide Memorial Day Marathon. We've had cards, letters, emails. People have been banging on the door. People have been stopping me in malls and parking lots. When's that Lloyd Marathon coming up? Monday is when it's coming up. 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern. 3 big hours of our Korean War veteran Lloyd Bonafide waxing philosophic or just waxing. And I'm telling you, we're going to have 3 great hours. The French Poodle Hour, those of you who remember it, remember that Lloyd? Lloyd was angry with the French over the non-participation of our our French friends in the Iraq War, and the lady next door just happened to have a French poodle that wouldn't stop barking. Put French poodle together with Lloyd's anger at France, what do you get? You got it, he snapped the thing's neck. Well, we'll find out how our audience reacted to that come Monday. Also, the famous hot dog hour, which I won't even go into that, but let's just say Lloyd found a whole new way of slapping a dog in a bun and laying a little mustard on it. Plus, the famous Elvis Hitchcock episode, where Lloyd, in entertaining the widows of war veterans and trying to raise money for them, was mocked and basically hooted down by a group of youths in a mall, right in the middle of his patented Elvis Hitchcock with the guitar at his side. Some kid wadded up a Wendy's cup and lobbed it at him, so Elvis cracked the guitar over the kid's head. Turned out the kid was disabled. That's always a fun hour. And then, of course, our Don't Look a Vet in the Eye hour. The returning Iraq war veterans, you never want to stare them in the eye, unless, of course, you want to have your windpipe ripped out of your throat. All of that coming up Monday on our Memorial Day marathon with Lloyd Bonafide here on the Phil Hendry Show. One other thing. Father's Day's right around the corner, and I would be really remiss in my duties if I didn't tell you the best way to go shopping for your dad is on the Phil Hendry website. The best way to shop for your father is on the Phil Hendry Show website. Let me tell you what we got for Dad. We have our Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug for the car. If you'd like a big, tall cup of coffee, this is a gorgeous stainless steel mug that can sit right there in the cup holder. We also have our black and white coffee or latte mug. This is not like a radio station mug. This is not some cheap radio station. You know those cups that look like they come out of Ma's Diner? This is a cool-looking black and white coffee cup. We also have our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, a classic called an instant collectible by LA Magazine in August of 2002, and we think it is. We also have our official Phil Hendry Show t-shirt, the Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirts. But if you want something a little more upscale, go to that Ted's of Beverly Hills page, and you can get a set of Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glasses. These are gorgeous. 4 shot glasses. Is it 4 shot glasses for $12? What a deal. And it's got the Ted's of Beverly Hills monogram on it. Or you can go over to the Western Estates Homeowners Association page and pick up a spa robe for Dad. This is a beautiful Bobby Dooley designed Western Estates Homeowners Association spa robe that Bobby, along with her disgusting husband Steve, designed. They all wear it at Western Estates around the pool. You can too. Just go to our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Now, I don't really know how I feel about this one, and the reason why I say that is because I'm a little bit confused, and so what I'm going to do is we're going to have, for the first time in a long time, a poll on our homepage to get your feelings, because I'm torn. I got to tell you, I'm torn. And I'm often, those of you who have listened to our program, you know that either I or my guests, we take strong positions on things. A little bit torn on this one, and let me just tell you what it's about. The headline is in the Malibu Daily News. Barbara Streisand's appeal to stop neighbors' new home construction is defeated. Now let's get into the meat of this story. Another chapter unfolded this week in the long-running feud between Barbara Streisand and her next-door neighbors when the City of Malibu Planning Commission unanimously turned down her appeal of the planning manager's approval of the neighbor's request to build a larger home. Now, to put it into simple English, her neighbors, who are Cheryl and Eric Jacobson, they want to add 2,000 square feet to their home. Okay, all's well and good with that. However, that 2,000 square feet addition will block the mountain view that James and Barbara Brolin, as they're described in their application here to the city of Malibu, it'll block the mountain view that they've traditionally had. That means that they are left with only their ocean view. The white water, the pearl necklace. It's called the Queen's Necklace, string of islands out in the Channel Islands and their view of Catalina. So they'll only have the view of the ocean, the surf, the Santa Rosa Island chain, and Catalina Island, effectively cutting in half their view outside of their home, the Jacobsons wanting to add on. Now, if I'm looking at this from Barbara and James Brolin's standpoint, I'm saying, you Nazi bastards blocking my view of the mountains. I'm saying, I bought this home in Malibu, and when I say I want a view not only of the ocean with the Queen's Necklace and Santa Rosa Island and Catalina Island and the Whitewater, I also want to see the coyotes frolicking. I also want to see the deer and the antelope playing up on the mountainside. But you people want to add 2,000 feet to your home, which will block that view of the mountains for me. So I can see how they're pissed off. Now, let's put the shoe on the other foot. Let's change hats for a moment. Take off this hat, let's put on the other hat. Now I'm Cheryl and Eric Jacobson. I've decided I want to expand my home, which is within my right. The city of Malibu says the primary view is the ocean. Therefore, I go to my architect, I say I'd like to add 2,000 square feet to my 2,5800 square foot home. I'd like now to expand it out to 4,833 square feet for just me and my wife, which includes a attached garage, guest house, swimming pool, and spa. And it's just the two of us in a 5,000 square foot house. But, you know, we need the room because we fight a lot. And if the city of Malibu says that the primary view is the ocean, then why can't I block their mountain view? The primary view is of the ocean, the white water, the ocean itself, the pearl of necklace or the string of pearls or the pearl necklace or whatever the hell the thing's called. What is it, the chain of islands out there? I always knew them as the Channel Islands. I never heard of a Queen's Necklace. Unless, of course, we're talking about that ZZ Top song, and I don't want to get into that right now. But maybe later. So they don't have their pearl necklace, or Barbara, she don't have a pearl. I don't know what it is. Where do you stand? On the one hand, the Brolins don't have their mountain view. They only got that lousy, stinking ocean view. Lousy, stinking white water and pearl necklace view. On the other hand, if I'm the Jacobsons, why can't I add on to my home? It's my home, and the city of Malibu said that I could, at least according to the planning requirements that I applied for. It says that the primary view is the Whitewater, so if I block the view of the Brolins, I ain't blocking Jack because the city says that I can. Well, I'm not going to tell you what the city of Malibu said. I want to get your opinion on this, and that's why we're going to have a poll on our homepage. It ought to be up in a few minutes, and I'll tell you when it is up, but the essential question will be, who do you agree with, the Jacobsons or the Brolins? Don't you think the Brolins are entitled to their mountain view, or do you think the Jacobsons are entitled to expand their home while blocking the mountain view? At least the Brolins still have their ocean view. Yeah, I haven't had a normal bowel movement in 3 hours since I saw this, and I just want to get your take on it. What's your take? That's what I want. I want your take. But I don't want it on the phone. I want it on our website. And when we get the poll up, if you'll pardon the expression, when we get the poll up, I will let you know. And then you guys can log on, check in, log all over it if you want to. Drop a log on it, whatever you want to do, and tell us what you think about the Brolins, the Jacobsons, the String of Pearls, and all of that there. Dig it? All right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, we're going to be right back. Today on our show, Vernon Dozier visits us. Oh, yeah, don't worry about the American Idol. Don't even worry about that. We'll talk about that. Vernon Dozier will be with us to talk about Annika Sorenstam and how well she did today. And we'll also have news from Michael P. Castrato, who was our conservative columnist on the Black Biker Rally in South Carolina, the Bear Aspirin controversy, the American Idol recount, which I've already referenced, Sportscasters, Metallica, it's all coming up on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up later in the show, Vernon Dozier, high school math teacher, history teacher, football coach, on Annika Sorenstam playing in a men's golf tournament. She's an LPGA golfer. She's in a men's PGA event. How did she do today? Apparently she was one over par. Did pretty damn good for a girl. And we're going to talk with Vernon about that and how he feels about that. And we'll get that web, as soon as we get the poll up on our home page, then, you know, we'll be ready to rock and roll. All right. Talking about houses, you know, and views and ocean views. You know, an ocean view. And can you imagine getting up in the morning and seeing the ocean? I can't even, every day getting up and seeing the ocean. I can't even, I don't know what that is. It would be heaven to sit there and just have a cup of coffee and look, and to get home from work at night, stressed out, ready to kill somebody. You sit down on the edge of a hill or something in your backyard, and there's the ocean. And this, and how about sleeping to the sound of the waves crashing on the shoreline? You know? Wow. Wow. You know the best view I ever had? I had a view of another guy's window right there. I mean, swear to God, I could stand at the toilet and open my window and shake hands with the guy in his bathroom. That's how close the houses are where I was living. I had another view where it was an alley. And an alley view is not that bad, actually. There's something sort of romantic and all-American about an alley. But it wasn't a cool-looking alley. It had chain-link fences and dog crap in it. And it just didn't make it. Not the cool-looking garbage can alleys that New York has. This was an L.A. alley. And L.A. alleys have dog crap in them. And chain-link fences. And some bum pushing a shopping cart through it. New York alleys have just some guy in an apron carrying out a trash pail and putting it down and going, Hey! Move it over to the other side! No! You know, it's cool. You know, it's the sounds of a bustling and prosperous neighborhood. That's the sound of a New York alley. But a Los Angeles alley, some old guy going through a garbage can, a dog squatting and leaking on something, and then a human squatting and leaking on something, and you just want to be anywhere but there. Then I had another view one time, and this was kind of an interesting view because I thought I'd like it, but I hated it. It was just the freeway right there. You know, in other words, they have those sound walls on the freeway. And every night, and then occasionally, then one time I had a view of a railroad track. I thought, you know, actually, this is going to be sound nutty, but two of the most relaxing things to me in the world, I swear to God, are the sound of foghorns and the distant sound of a train. I like it. It relaxes me. It sounds very constant, and there's something very all-American about it that makes me feel good and sleepy, whatever, you know. But if it's like 2 feet from my back window, and I was living with my girlfriend, and she was, what did I say, this? She's my girlfriend in Miami. And she said, oh, we got a really nice apartment and everything, and we just moved in, and it's near the railroad track. Well, I like the sound of trains.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It makes me feel relaxed.
Okay.
Well, I didn't know how close it was, because that night, here comes the Atlantic, you know, Pacific. And then it fades away, you know. And I'm laying there in a cold sweat. My heart's going. Next thing I know, my bed's across the street. I've just bounced right out of the apartment, down the stairs, and I'm out into the street. And she's a great gal. In fact, she's called me recently. And she's married and everything. Cool chick. Name's Marcia. And she used to make tea. This was back before the herbal tea thing really took off. So she was kind of ahead of her time, but she had allergies, so she'd make herbal tea. And she'd put it in the icebox. Well, one night, I woke up, and as many of us do, we have a thirst. You know, you're thirsty, and you make yourself some ice water, you guzzle it. I'm the kind of guy, I'll guzzle anything that's in the icebox. Orange juice, milk, I don't care what it is, if I've got a thirst. And I reached in, and I grabbed this big pitcher of herbal tea, and I put it to my lips, and I began to drink it down. And it was like I was drinking something out of a befouled Indian Army canteen. It was like someone had been eating curry and then peed right into it. And I'm just, ah! God, what is that?
It's herbal tea. I meant to tell you. I take it for my allergies. I'm sorry.
Good God, are you trying to kill me? The worst tasting stuff. Then I get back into bed. I don't think I freaking slept a night in that place. 6 months. Yeah, they had a romantic sound of a railroad train. I got your romantic sound. Anyway, I bring that up to say that there's some views that some of us, but to have an ocean view, I'd commit murder. I'd commit murder, and I'd live there until the cops came and took me away. Because at least I'd know I'd have a few days to sit there and look at the view, and then you make yourself a little dinner, you look at the ocean view, huh? Can you believe that some people take that for granted? Like, well, it's good, but it's, you know, we also want to have, you know, a little bit of a mountain view, too. And I understand if you pay that kind of bread for that kind of real estate, I suppose you think you expect or are getting more. But, hey, anybody that moves into Malibu, California, thinking that they're going to get some kind of a bargain for their dollar, man, you really need to have a, you know, electroshock only sounds bad. It only sounds scary. It can be a very positive experience for you. And I would recommend it. So we'll have that website put up there for you. There's also a thing, or not website, we'll have that poll put up for you. There's also a thing called mansionization. Have you ever heard of this? Now, mansionization is going on all over the country. Here's what it is. It's when you've got a lot, that is a lot that your house is on, that you have extra space and you want to fill it up with house. Because what's happening is people are able to take out these equity loans and the interest rates are so rock bottom, people are able to take out home improvement loans and literally expand their houses. So imagine if you had a lot that your home was on, and there's front lawn and there's backyard and there's driveway, and you wanted to push that house out to every square inch of that little postage stamp size lot. That's what's called mansionization. And you're not only pushing it all the way out to the edge of the lot, you're going straight up three stories. So what you've got effectively are these homes, and they're all like, one is Mediterranean and another's Tudor, but they're in a neighborhood. It's just not right. You know, there's, you know, telephone poles with the lines, and you know, somebody's busted down 57 DeSoto sitting out on the street, and right across there is, you know, the Playboy Mansion. There's something ain't adding up here. And that's what I mean. I was in this guy's house one day. He's just,
what do you think, Phil? It's, we pushed out a little bit.
Yeah, you sure did. I like the spiral staircase. That's a nice effect. By the way, you got cat crap out on your driveway out here. Some bum is sleeping on it.
Oh, my God, we'll fix it.
Okay. I just thought I'd tell you. But the spiral staircase and the, what is this?
That's a butler's pantry.
I wouldn't even know.
Well, that's where a butler takes the dishes, sticks them. I don't know. It's a butler's pantry. See it?
Will you have a butler?
No. We could get one, though.
Yeah, it's a beautiful home, man. By the way, is this liquor store open across the street?
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay, I'll just go over there and get a bottle of red wine. We'll celebrate you mansionization. Guy's got a three-story pad. Thing looks like it's right out of Henry VIII, and right across the street is Cheeto's Liquor and Lounge with the thing, you know, that screen that they close. Some guy wandering out, 48 cents a drink.
Well, I love the home. We really expanded it a little bit.
Yeah, expanded it. Perfect for the neighborhood, man. By the way, that pawn shop over there, I want to go get my saxophone back out of it, okay?
Yeah, all right, we'll see you in the backyard.
What backyard?
Well, all right, we'll see you in the next street over.
Guy's got a barbecue on the street. That's what I mean to this mansionization, you know. Hey, pal, take the bread and put it into, Bear aspirin's good these days. I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. And now more.
on The Phil Hendry Show.
Yesterday's show, we had Margaret Gray on the program. She's a nationally syndicated print columnist talking about American Idol and how Ruben winning the competition, which we predicted he would do yesterday, by the way, and Margaret did too, would be a great opportunity for some young woman to, you know, work her way into his life, manage his money, who knows, maybe get a trinket or two from the big fat guy, because obviously with his weight, he hasn't been around too many cute girls. And a woman called in to ask what rock Margaret had crawled out from underneath of.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I want to know what rock this woman crawled out from under.
I beg your pardon?
Well, I'm sorry.
That's a little harsh.
Ruben is a handsome guy. He's got a lot going for him.
Okay.
And whether he has money or not has nothing to do with it, because a real woman could not lay down next to a man for the rest of her life just because of how much money he has in his pocket.
Darling, you would not be
and
able to lay down next to him.
He has
you
a lot
to be
more
on the
offer.
Floor next to the bed because he's that big.
All right, now are we going to do fat jokes?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, that's... How
yeah.
rude are you?
Yeah,
how
doing...
vain are you?
No, you
I mean, Ruben has a lot to offer. Listen to his voice. He's a beautiful singer. That's a big attribute right there, regardless of if he makes money off of it or not. He could sing me a love song.
Anna, I could show you a restaurant right over here in Cahuenga where the waiters sing. You want to go in there and listen to a man sing, you can go in there. Does that mean you want to marry him? Absolutely
well,
not.
Well, I would rather marry a man that I love than a man that's got a pocket full of money and a bad attitude.
If he wins tonight, which I think he will, by the way, I think he'll show himself worthy of a cute girl, that's all. That's
he
all
already is worthy of a cute girl. He already is.
Can
He's
I ask
an adorable
you
man.
Can I ask you something, and I don't mean to be offensive. Are you cute?
I am 5'2", 115 pounds, with blue eyes and brown hair. I'm a very attractive, young 22-year-old
all
girl.
All right, okay, let's all bite. I'll call your bluff. Let's say you're cute.
I am.
And you get intimate with Ruben, and you can't, and he cuts off your wind. Now what are you saying?
All right.
What I'm saying is that you're being a bitch.
Why am I being a bitch when I...
What do you mean he cuts off her wind?
I know. So, what are you? What planet are you from?
Young lady,
people have sex all the time. I'm sure of it.
Well, I'm not. And I don't know how you could be.
Margaret.
You're right. So fat people don't have sex, apparently.
When they're born, they're not fat. They get fat. And that's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't know what you're saying. I think what you're
Neither
saying...
Neither do I.
You're insulting this man.
Phil, I don't want to come out and say that he can't get a cute girl when he's not got money. But you know as well as I do that's true.
I don't
it
know.
It is not true. He takes good care of himself. He represents himself. We're not talking about
that. Oh, my God.
Blob.
What are you talking? He takes care of himself. There isn't a nickel that man hasn't made that hasn't gone directly into the general fund of Jack in the Box. Look at him. Thank you.
You are the rudest, shallowest woman I've ever heard speak.
Do you have a boyfriend?
I just got out of a 3-year relationship.
Because he gained too much weight. I rest my case. I rest my case.
She never said because he gained too much weight.
How about because he was an abusive ass, even though he wasn't fat? So I'd rather be with someone that was fat that was not abusive and not mean to me.
Let me tell you why I don't believe you. Because there's a sound that people have when they talk who are overweight. The fat presses against the vocal cords, and it sounds to me like that's what's going on.
Oh,
what an idiot. What
I know.
An idiot.
You can't get off the fact that I weigh 115 pounds.
Yeah.
I'm 5'2".
Well, honey, I'm 53 years of age, and I'm not much better.
And you sound like it. You sound like an ugly, mean woman that has a lot of money.
Let me tell you a story, all right? Since you're
young,
I wouldn't know really.
Whether you're fat or not doesn't make you attractive either. It's how you present yourself.
If you want to be...
You can be fat or skinny and represent yourself in an ugly manner, or you could be fat and skinny and represent yourself in an attractive manner.
Do you know what you look like to me with your zipper dress and your bad shoes? You look like a rube. A well-scrubbed, hustling rube. Good nutrition's given you length of bone, but you're not too much far removed from one generation of poor white trash. And oh, how the boys found you with all their sticky fumblings in the back seats. And all you could dream about was getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way.
What are you talking about?
She's screwy. She's mental.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
She's me. That was me doing the voice of Margaret. The lady didn't know that. I think I ought to plug that in so you know just exactly where you stand. So you know exactly what you've stumbled across, okay? Just so you know what you're getting into here. I don't want anybody saying that I didn't warn you. That I didn't tell you, that, you know, you didn't know the length and the depth of the mental illness that was afoot on this show. All right. We are going to be addressing the Annika Sorenstam, and we're also going to be addressing the American Idol recount. Stay tuned for that. Coming up next hour, we're going to address the American Idol recount. It's very important that you hear what we have to say. Very, very, very important that you hear what we have to say about the American Idol recount, because you're not going to hear anybody else say it. I guarantee no one else will have said on... We had to dump that comment, not because I said anything like poo, but because I referenced times, and I know some people tape delay our show. Coming up in another hour of the show, we'll be interviewing Vernon Dozier, who is a high school math and science teacher, and as well as an athletic coach, about Annika Sorenstam. And to that end, I wanted to get on Vijay Singh. We've been trying for a couple of days to get Mr. Singh on the air, and I'm very, very happy that he would. Mr. Singh is a member of the PGA Tour. He is a great golfer in his own right, a native of Fiji, and we wanted to get him on because, Vijay, it's not a secret. It has been big news. You walked off of the Colonial Open this weekend because a woman was playing, right?
Well, yeah. That's exactly right, Phil. I didn't tell the press that.
Well, what you told the press was that you're just...
I told the press that I needed some time off, but you're right. I didn't want to golf with Annika because she is a woman and because I have some issues.
Let's get to those issues. Vijay, you come from Fiji, correct?
I do come from Fiji, yeah.
Now, you are not African, but you're very dark. Could you tell us about that?
Well, I'm not African, but I'm very dark. I don't know. I am.
Well, meaning you have very dark skin.
Yes, I do. I am of Indian descent. Many indentured Indian servants came to Fiji in the early part of the 20th century, and their descendants live there to this day. So I was born and raised in Fiji, but I do have Indian heritage.
But your skin is very dark. So do you think you have to be African to be black?
No, I do not.
All right. So would you say that you're black?
I would say I'm dark-skinned, yeah.
All right. Now, why would you be down on Annika Sorenstam, a woman playing in the PGA, when you yourself, VG, are a man of color and probably subjected to, at a time in the past, you would have been subjected to prejudice yourself?
Well, it's a good question, Phil, and like most intelligent questions, because I'm a PGA golfer, I don't have an intelligent answer. I think you said it very well. We are a collection of meatheads just running around swinging our clubs and driving our Cadillacs from, you know, golf course to golf course. We really are a clueless bunch of jackasses. But I do love the life because we make a lot of money on the tour. But to answer your question, Phil, as you may or may not know, and this might be enlightening to a lot of your listeners, there is a pecking order among racial and sexual minorities in America. African Americans and black people in general see themselves at the top of that pecking order and traditionally look down on Latinos, women, gays, people like that.
So there is prejudice on your part against Annika as a woman, even though you are a man of color yourself who may have been subjected to the same prejudice.
Exactly right. And the excuse that I give is that my people had to put up with prejudice, so why don't women go through their turn at the line? It's a stupid excuse, and it's one that's used by a lot of ignorant people, but I thought I'd break it out because generally I'm only talking to other golfers, and they're dumb enough to buy what I say, but you obviously, you got me at a weak moment and put me on the air with you.
Well, I'm not exactly stupid. I'm not a stupid man. I mean, I don't think I'm the greatest in the world, but I think I'm brighter than most of the golfers out there.
Well, you're certainly brighter than the professional golfers out there, because I can tell you right now, I hang around with a lot of them. Oh, man, Jesus. Stupid? Stupid doesn't even begin. I mean, I talked to this guy the other day, and I forget his name, but he was the dumbest son of a... What the hell is his...
Nick Price?
That's it, yeah. What a dumbass. Well, anyway, Phil, I got to get going.
Well, I thought you were going to stay with me for a couple of minutes.
Well, I can't think of anything else to say. I just have to go out and swing a club and get the air back into my head, because this is scaring me, talking so much. I usually just stand there and look serious, as if I'm standing over the creation of a nuclear device instead of just a stupid-ass 3-foot putt. So I'm going to have to get back out there and start practicing my serious stare.
All right, well, anyway, Annika Sorenstam today, Vijay, shot one over par, which is much better than a lot of. The over-under on her round was a 76, and she shot somewhere within the range of a 70 or 71.
I know, absolutely, and she's made a lot of people look stupid. She's especially made me look stupid, since most everybody's on her side and is really excited about it.
Yeah, even the pros that are playing with her now are wishing her success.
Right, so I'm the guy that winds up looking like a complete and utter jackass, which isn't the first time. Why else would I be at an auction? Can you hear that?
Yeah, what is that?
I'm at an auction, Phil. It's an estate sale. 25. And some guy is selling a nude, it's a nude with a clock. It's a nude bronze woman holding a clock on her shoulder. 50. Holding a clock.
And you're bidding on it?
Sure, why not? Why wouldn't I? I'm a dumbass PGA golfer.
Yeah, 100.
Bid 100, I said!
100.
All right, I got it. Listen, I got to get going. I got to get this clock home. God, what a deal.
Yeah, all right. Well, VJ, congratulations on that clock. And all continued success to you on the PGA Tour.
I don't understand.
In other words, it's a good thing.
Oh, the clock. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't get it.
Right, Vijay Singh, folks, if you don't know who he is.
And that's not surprising.
He was the PGA Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
He was the PGA golfer who was upset with the fact that he had to play with a woman, Annika Sörenstam, so he pulled out of the Colonial Open. The other guy that didn't think was Nick Price, who said that Ben Hogan had won the tournament five times, would be spinning in his grave, and a lot of other dumbass things that these guys said. And today she shot a 71, and she did very well. She's 72nd. I don't have any idea if that'll make the cut. And I don't even know how you make the cut in golf. I know it's a certain level, a certain scoring level. But nonetheless, if she does, it'll be a huge coup. That's what everybody's looking for, not if she'll win. Obviously, she ain't going to win. But what do I know? I don't even follow the stupid sport. All right, 1-800-449-8... I'm only following her because she's Swedish. 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier to talk more about it later on in the show. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now it's time for Serial Murderer File. By the way, we have a letter here from Bill Duncan of Seattle. He says, Dear Phil, is there any significance to the music you play under Serial Murderer File? Bill, no, there isn't. It's just I like to juxtapose really smooth, slick R&B against these atrocious, unacceptable titles like Serial Murderer File. And now it's time for Faces of Death 6. You know what I'm saying, Bill? So thanks for your letter. Now bug off. We got some stuff that's really cool. I know you want to hear Michael Jackson, don't you? Okay. Jesus. That's all you get. That's it. I ain't playing. Let's say no DJ show. You want to go listen to that stuff? Go plug in Ryan Seacrest if he's out of jail. Just kidding. All right, anyway. Scott Peterson. There's more on the Scott Peterson file. We have to report this to you. I know you're ready to pitch up liver bile listening to this story. I know you want to just barf up a sandwich you ate in 1986. That's how sick you are of hearing about Scott Peterson. But never let it be said that I let that stand in my way. Scott Peterson's attorneys now say there's a mystery woman. They've got her. She's got information that will exonerate him. Yeah, right. They say there's a mystery woman. She knows who really did it, who really killed Lacey Peterson. And they say they've got her secreted, if you will. And they'll bust her out and they'll ask her some questions when they're good, fat, and ready. And not a minute before, but Scott Peterson's an innocent man, according to them. Now, they say it was a brown van that was spotted in front of the Peterson home with men and women inside the brown van, and one of them had a 666 devil-worshipping tattoo. You're right. It was the Manson family. Because to hear these attorneys talk about it, you'd swear to God it was the Manson family. Men, women, van, tattoos. You got it. Squeaky was there along with Linda Kasabian, Tex Watson, Leslie Van Houten. The whole gang was there to play What's My Line. Man, they're all there to play Hollywood Squares. Susan Atkins was there with the knife, and she was going to cut another pregnant lady up. That's exactly what was going down. Or maybe it was the people that killed Jeffrey McDonald's wife and kids. Remember that guy, that green beret, who's sitting inside now for butchering up his wife and kids? And he said it was a bunch of drug-crazed hippies. Remember that one? See, drug-crazed hippie and devil-worshipping Satanist, it's the same thing. Just they sort of crossed, you know, they all mixed together. Was it a devil-worshipping hippie or a drug-crazed Satanist? It was, yeah. All right. Now, you listen to this, and I'll be right back with some medication. Feel better? Now, so, see, they're interchangeable. Then, the McDonald case also said, guess what they had? Because he had a mysterious woman, too. A mysterious woman in a floppy hat. A big floppy hippie hat. Remember the big floppy hippie hats that the chicks used to wear? Yeah, that's what she was. She probably had on the bell-bottoms with the, you know, the hip huggers with a really nice ass, walking down the street in her bare feet and beads, carrying a baby, like, you know, a hippie chick did. And that's who really was involved in this. And Jeffrey McDonald, by God, for 20 years has been trying to get somebody to hear him because he's an innocent man. And it was a drug-crazed band of hippies that did it. Just like the drug-crazed band of hippies that did the Manson job. Just like the drug-crazed band of hippies that did the Scott Peterson job. Listen to this, lest you think that I'm being stupid. Listen to this. This is a fantastic article. According to the 2001 study published by the Journal of the American Medical Association, approximately 20% of Maryland women who died during pregnancy were murdered. Now, the same journal goes on to say that in the United States of America, in the year 2000, 33% of all the women slain nationwide were pregnant, killed by intimate partners. I shouldn't say pregnant. They were killed by intimate partners. Now, if you include in that pregnant women, the statistic is probably very significant. If it's a serial killer, according to Cook County Chicago detectives, they normally go after women who may be 3 months pregnant and not showing it. However, women that are very evidently pregnant are most often killed by their boyfriends or husbands. They can see the woman and the unborn child as something that is in the way, keeps them from living the lifestyle that they wanted. While pregnancy is supposed to be a happy time, it can aggravate an already troubled relationship undermined by either extramarital affairs or a long history of abuse. The hormones of a woman are changing, so often she is crying, or she has mood swings which further exacerbate the situation. The man sees the baby as a challenge to him. He sees the baby as a competitor for the woman's affection. In other words, according to the Journal of the American Medical Association, men murdering their pregnant wives and girlfriends is not that all unusual. What do you think about that, Michael? This has been Serial Murderer Update. Stay tuned now for Sheriff John. They're losing control, in other words, of the situation. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Stay tuned for our take on American Idol.
...1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Yesterday we predicted that Ruben was going to win American Idol. And, you know, it was a no-brainer. It was a no-brainer predicting that Ruben was going to win. Why? Did I think I knew how people were going to vote? Of course not. I knew after many, many years in broadcasting. Now, you got to listen to this. Nobody else is going to tell you this today. After many, many years in broadcasting, I have learned one thing. Networks, radio stations, television stations drive their programming decision based upon the needs of advertisers and the results of various and very costly focus groups and research projects. They do not drive their programming needs according to phone calls from listeners or viewers. They do not. It may upset you to know this, since you are an individual who writes a lot of letters or phones the station a lot. It may be something that you already know, but I'm saying it now in relation to American Idol because I want to make this point. Predicting that Ruben was going to win last night was a no-brainer because I knew he was the more attractive of the two. He was the more saleable of the two. In short, and here's the most important point, he was the one that Fox wanted to have win. Not you. Not the people that called in. Fox wanted Rubin to win because he would play better, reflect better for the network. There may be far better future programming opportunities with a guy like that. There may be far better opportunities of getting a piece of his action when he gets his recording contract going. The Fox Television Network, not the people that voted, the Fox Television Network preordained and pre-decreed that Rubin would win. Now, as far as all of this recount stuff goes, oh yeah, baby. I mean, I gotta give it to him. I gotta give it to him, because they got a lot of people today believing that that's exactly what's going on. They got a lot of people out there going, well, I really like Clay, and I hope this recount comes out right. Oh, please, do yourself a favor. Listen to your big brother here, Phil, all right? For just a second, man. There ain't no recount. You're believing it because they got a host, Ryan Seacrest, who you buy probably can't counter-add. But the fact is, it doesn't matter whether he can counter-add. And I say that, Ryan, with all due respect. You're doing great, man. Your career, you got, you know, you did it, baby. You got a TV gig. You did it, baby. You're doing what a lot of people want to do. Stick their head out of the muck and the mire and the sweat and the stench of radio. And you grab the hold of a little piece of that TV action. I love you. But getting back to how dumb you are. Fox Television doesn't have a recount problem. Fox Television doesn't have a problem. Today, they are being talked about. Yep, you're right, I'm talking about it. Why wouldn't I talk about it? It's fascinating to me. It's fascinating to me. They have no problem. Today, they're being talked about, written about, broadcast about all across America, for as far as I know, across the free world, man. It may be the biggest freaking news in Afghanistan that they've had since Spider-Man came to town on bootleg. There's no recount. There never was a recount. It was always going to be Rubin. Always. How do I... You think I'm kidding? Fox TV grabbed all of the applicants, all of the auditioned people. And as the process went on, they surveyed the entries, they surveyed the applicants, and they made a decision probably several weeks ago that Rubin was the guy. Now, you may be angry because they've lied to you and that they're manipulating you, and we can get into that later if you'd like. I personally don't care. I mean, it's not that I don't care about what you think, but I don't care if we get into it or not. If you don't want to, that's fine. But what I'm saying is, this is what television does. Now, you're going to ask this question, Phil, do you think it's good or bad? And the answer is, I think it's good. It's a game show. It's just a game show. It's nothing more than a game show where people win cash and prizes and walk off with the prize. That's what American Idol is. It's a game show. Only today's modern game show delivers some pretty heavy-duty prizes. A recording contract is pretty sweet. I mean, it's not like there haven't been shows that have done that before. Well, you got a chance to be in your own movie, or we'll give you a part in a movie. But this is one of the best prizes that's ever been awarded on a game show, when you get a recording deal. But at its heart and at its soul, it's a game show. Not unlike Star Search, not unlike when I was a little kid, there was a show called Queen for a Day, where they brought some woman out and she'd, you know, tell her sob story about how she got run over by a train and she's got 86 kids that she can't feed, and they'd give her a brand new dishwasher. I don't know what that means. There ain't no pig behind the box that Carol Merrill is standing beside on Let's Make a Deal, the note that Janice just sent me. What's that mean? There's no pig. Oh, you're not going to really win a pig on Let's Make a Deal? Yeah. Can we hear her? We did? All right, anyway, you just confused the hell out of me, Janice. But, so there's nothing going on there. There's no recount going on. There never was going to be a recount. This was preordained weeks ago by the executives at Fox Programming. Guys, believe me, I may be the only guy that's telling you this. Weeks ago, they said, there's going to be a recount. That's what we'll do. We'll do a recount. Why? Remember the presidential recount? How well that played? Great idea, BJ. All right, RP, can you get that going? Right. All right. Now, where's that hooker? Okay. Anyway. Now, the other thing we're going to do, that Rubin, that fat black, we like him. Like him a lot. He's black. That plays well. Ethnic minority. Beautiful. He's overweight, yet he has the sympathy of the audience. There's something sexy about him, kind of a Barry White thing going on. What do you think about Clay? Who likes Clay? Anybody in the room like Clay?
I don't know. I like Clay because he has a certain southern, kind of a rural appeal.
Yeah, the kid's too, he's too skinny, too freaky. There's something manly about, is it Ruben? It's Ruben. Ruben. Everybody agreed? Ruben? Ruben. Got it. Okay, Ruben. That was weeks ago they decided that. Weeks ago. Then they said, now, when the big night comes, we'll get the dumbass, I mean, we'll get Ryan out there, and then he'll screw up reading the numbers, dig it, and we'll say, uh-oh, we need a recount, see? Because you remember that deal that happened when, what was that, 2000? Betty, Susie, what was that?
The recount, presidential election.
Right, the presidential election. Some clown down in Florida couldn't count, right? So what we're going to do is we'll have our own recount.
Hey, I like that. Yeah, yeah, that's great.
That's why they pay me the dollars. That's why I got the Mercedes with the sunroof and you don't, huh? That's why you're still driving a BMW. And by the way, that Beamer sitting in my lot out there in my space, get it out. Now. All right, so everybody agreed, right? We like that? We're going to have the recount thing. How soon you can set that up, Eddie?
Yeah, I can do that pretty soon. I'll even get some mention in the Drudge Report.
Get the Drudge Report. You know, I love Matt, but boy, he's a sucker for a lot of that sensational bullcrap. Okay, get it out there. Get it on there now. Go. How do I know? Because I've been in meetings like that. I have sat in meetings where those very things have been said. I have sat in meetings in the radio and television business where those very things have been said, those very things have happened. So what's the bottom line? The bottom line is this. You got your entertainment value. You got entertained like never before. You love the whole process. You're titillated. You dig it. You got Ruben. Whatever the hell. There's only one small problem that Fox may be facing. Because of guys maybe like me, maybe not, because of other people writing and talking about the reality of the situation, which is that it is essentially a fixed process. And when I say fixed, I am not saying that's necessarily bad, and I'm not saying it's illegal. It's a game show. It's not hurting anybody. It's not hurting anybody. They can fix the outcome if they want to. Many game shows are fixed. Now, I know you saw a quiz show, and that proved that it's against the law. It wasn't against the law. It wasn't against the law then. And as far as I know, I don't even think it's against the law now. It may be. Maybe you want to research that or something. BJ, research that.
Right, boss.
We may be breaking the law here, not that it matters. We're Fox. Murdoch owns us, okay? That's not necessarily a bad thing. Because it's a game show. You're not getting hurt. Nobody's taking any money out of your pocket. I don't think. You're getting suckered in. You're watching the show. You're buying the products. Let me ask you a question. Guys, feel free to answer this, but maybe you feel too schmucky to call in. Like, you feel like an idiot, you don't want to call in and feel like you're dumb, right? So, you can answer this rhetorically. How come people don't trust the government and think the government lies and think the government manipulates facts and think that George Bush came up with all this baloney because he wanted to start a war so he could get the Halliburton contract going? How come people believe that but or don't believe the government, but they believe every piece of crap that comes out of the mouth of a television executive? They think it's all true. Not one person questions the process. So then somebody says, well, you know what, at least TV's not hurting us. We as taxpayers, though, are paying for the lie when it comes from the government. I say, well, you are getting hurt by the TV. Why? Because you buy the products they tell you to buy. No, I don't. Yeah, and on top of that, you can't turn that TV off. You have no more control over your television set than you do over the taxes you pay to the government.
Well, what are you talking about? I can turn it off anytime I want.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't. And you haven't, and you never will. People say they don't need television. They say they don't watch it, and they say they can turn it off anytime they want. They can't. Television is like brushing your teeth, breathing the air, taking your first healthy morning crap, going out into the world. It's a natural part of life. Television, you can't live without it. You gotta have it. And you don't have any more control over that process of watching TV than you do over how much bread you gotta pay in taxes or how much you gotta pay the doctor. Man, it's part of your life. You ain't going to put down watching TV. You know you're not. And you do everything it tells you to do. You believe the news that it gives you. You believe the bullcrap about Clay and Ruben and a recount. You believe this and you believe that. Television lies to you every day. I'm the only guy in the media today that shows you exactly how it works by the kind of radio show that we do. By the way, Vernon Dozier coming up next hour. So, my hat's off to Fox. Good job. I think, though, there may be a backlash. I don't know. I don't know if anybody's really wants to hear the truth about this, that there's never been any count, that there's never been any vote, that there's never been any doubt that it was going to be Rubin since about, I'd say, 6 weeks ago, 6-8 weeks ago. Now, if people start to get this message, the only way Fox could get hurt is if the news, the truth really does leak out and people feel like they've been made monkeys out of, then maybe it's going to hurt them a little bit. But I doubt it. I doubt it. I doubt if anybody's going to really grasp this, that they have basically been bullcrapped from day one about this whole American Idol process. I think people are just going to go along with it and say, and you know what? At the end of the day, if no one got hurt, no one got hurt. If you don't mind paying top dollar for your tires, your beer, your tampons, your diapers, or whatever it is that you buy that they tell you to buy on the television, then that's cool. Boy, I wish I had that Michael Jackson song right now. We could conclude this segment with Rock With You. All right, now Vernon Dozier will be up next hour talking about Annika Sorenstam. We got more to say about that. A little bit more to say about the... Oh, wait till you hear what we got to say about the Streisands. We have an on-site poll that we want to conduct today. And other news, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
You know, I got done with a whole thing about American Idol, and I thought, what the hell am I talking about American Idol for? I'm on a talk station. The people that watch American Idol are kids that listen to music. The people that listen to talk radio, or at least the people that listen to talk radio on AM stations, they don't know from American Idol, man. They don't know American Idol from the American Tire Company. What the hell am I wasting 20 minutes talking about American Idol for? I don't know that there's anybody within the sound of my voice, listen to the traditional talk radio listener. I don't even know if they watch television. Especially the people that call talk shows. I don't think that they have TVs. I think they have ham radio sets. And, you know, have special invisible friends. Very special invisible friends that they can confide in now and again. The other thing is that 20 minutes that I just did on American Idol, I wasn't saying anything that people could agree with. I was saying something that people hadn't even thought of before and decided, hey, that sounds like a good point of view. And the bottom line is, when people talk about being lied to by the government, man, does that make me laugh? Nobody lies to you more than the electronic media. And I'm not saying that it's, you know, the bias. I ain't talking about the bias of the media. I'm not talking about that. Anybody that gives you this bias of the media thing, man, they are. Why don't they go sell some eggs out in front of the farm, okay? That's about what they ought to do. They ought to reshoe a horse. That's about where they are on the timeline. They are way, way beyond, you know, way past this situation. I ain't talking about media bias. I'm simply talking about whether they decide to tell you the truth or not. Now, over the last 3-4 months, I've been hearing people talking about how Washington has lied to them and the party line out of the White House, and that the same people will sit there and watch television or listen to radio news and believe it all. Wow, I just heard the guy say that this figure, 20% of new mothers or something this or something that, or I just heard Phil Henry say the American Journal of Medicine says that 30% of all pregnant women, 30% of all women are murdered by their husbands. You know, they're going to take that back to the office tomorrow and repeat it as if it's truth. How do you know? Just because I said it. Did you look it up? All right, listen, our poll is up. Let me tell you what I mean when I say our poll is up. I don't mean to keep beating the metaphor. Well, I just did it again, didn't I? I just refreshed the page, and I don't see any poll. On the left-hand side, underneath the banner, on the left-hand side. Ah, okay. Would you please call him and... Oh, never mind. Get it. All right, we got a poll on our homepage. Should the Brolins... And he misspelled it, so would you call Doug and say it's spelled B-R-O-L-I-N? Lest anybody think that Chris is still updating our homepages. Should the Brolins, next-door neighbors in Malibu, and tell him that next door should be separated with a space so it's not next door all one word? In Malibu, be allowed to add on to their home, thus blocking the Brolins' mountain view. Yes or no? Now, the question comes from the Malibu Daily News, which told us, shockingly, that the Brolins, and that would be Barbara Streisand and James Brolin, are having a problem with a neighbor who've added onto their house, and it's going to block their mountain view, so the only thing they'll be left with is an ocean view. Now, the neighbors, the Jacobsons, say they have a right to build onto their house because blocking the mountain view doesn't make any difference since the primary view in Malibu is considered to be the ocean view. Who do you agree with, the Jacobsons or the Streisand/Brolins? Do you agree that these Streisand/Brolins should have a should be able to block their neighbor's construction because they have a right to their mountain view? Or do you agree with the Jacobsons who say the primary view is the ocean and it shouldn't matter if they're blocking their mountain view? Weigh in on this all-important topic on our homepage. Of course, you may not believe what I'm saying. You may think I'm lying. You may want to get a copy of the Malibu Daily News. Well, tell you what, I'm telling the truth. It's right here, page 3. All right, so go to our homepage, www.philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhenryshow.com. Should the Brolins' next-door neighbors in Malibu be allowed to add on to their home, thus blocking the Brolins' mountain view? And would you please have him correct the spelling on Brolins, next-door, Malibu, mountain, and view? View is not spelled V-U-W, and mountain is not spelled M-O-U-T-I-N. I forgive you, folks. And would you please call Doug up and tell him that should is spelled S-H-O-U-L-D, not S-H-O-O-D. Jesus. Look at this. Neighbors. N-A-B-O-R-S. Would you have him respell that, too? Thank you very much. Other than that, it's just great. It's a great poll, and you can... weigh in on it, or you can sit on it, or whatever you want to do. 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier's coming up on our program to address the Annika Sorenstam situation, the female golfer who is now in the Colonial, the PGA Tour event, which is obviously traditionally an all-male event, but she is the first female in 58 years to play in a PGA event. It's the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Get ready, America. It's time now for the number one conservative talk show in America. It's time for the Michael P. Castrato Show and Castrato Nation.
Thanks very much, Billy Johnson. Thank you, and welcome to the Castrato Nation. Yeah! We are getting ready to rock and roll. A lot of the liberals are at it again. Wait till you hear what they're trying to do. In South Carolina, they've already got their muddy prints all over the Colonial. This is Castrato Nation, your conservative voice in America. Hey, sick of the liberals. All right, our number is 1-800-CASTRATO. That's 1-805-CASTRATO. That's 1-877-CASTRATO. That's 1-888-888-CASTRATO. Take your pick. Well, let me tell you right now, I want to puke my living guts up because I've been reading about some biker rally in South Carolina. Now, the locals there say they've got two motorcycle rallies every year in May, two massive rallies. One of them is attended by mainly white bikers. It's the Harley-Davidson Motorcycle Owners Association. And another is primarily for African-American bikers, black bikers, if you will. People of color bikers. I can't keep up with what they want to be called. We'll be right back. Michael P. Castrato Nation. Get your Michael P. Castrato hats, belts, vests, jock straps, underwear, diapers, and now the Michael P. Castrato hemorrhoid plug. Go to our website, www. That's all it is, just a series of W's. See what happens. I don't know, I tried it once. All right, thank you very much. Don't forget that website, and don't forget those bumper stickers. Michael P. Castrato is Jesus. I'm not just God, I'm Jesus. I'm a very specific God. Put those bumper stickers on your car. I don't care if it's a brand new Mercedes-Benz. I don't care if it's a brand new Bentley. I don't care if it's a brand new Rolls-Royce Silver Cloud or anything else. Put that bumper sticker right on the paint. And then when you have to take it off because the lease is up, I hope the paint comes off with it. We'll be right back. Michael P. Castrato, the number one conservative talk show host in America. Call 877-777-777. Let's see what happens when you do that. You'll probably get an operator saying, quit screwing around. All right, let's get back to this lawsuit I'm talking about. These African-American bikers are saying they're being, here we go again, discriminated against. Yeah, sure you are. This must be your imagination. There's no discrimination in America. We put that away hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago when the Civil War was fought back in the 13th century. The slaves were freed. When are you people going to get off your butts and get a job? That's what it's all about. Now, a group of black motorcycle enthusiasts say that the area, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, which I think is very beautiful. I've been to Myrtle Beach many times. I started my radio career there. In fact, I wound up my radio career there. That's where I'm broadcasting in from right now, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, because I was at one time in Chicago, New York, and Los Angeles, and now I'm back in Myrtle Beach. What do you think? Michael P. Castrato will be right back.
Hello, everyone. My name is Seamus P. You know, Irish ballad music is some of the most fun stuff you can do. Have yourself a kitchen party. Sit around with a banjo and an Irish cello. Drink large amounts of moonshine till you lose your sight. And listen to beautiful songs like this, like Seamus McGee.
Maggie McGee, as I sat around.
Or Bob Hauser.
Well, Bob's a little, you know, under the weather right now.
Yes, just dial 877 for Irish Ballads. That's 877 Irish Ballads. We'll send it to your house free of charge via airborne. Or you can send us a check for $29.95 just because you like our looks. That's Irish Ballads. Now back to the Michael P. Castrato Show on Castrato Nation. I love his program so much.
It's our Irish priest. Oh, man, am I funny. You know, that's the great thing about me. See, that's the thing Limbaugh hasn't got. That's the thing Savage hasn't got. That's the thing Reagan hasn't got. That's the thing Handel hasn't got. That's the thing that none of them got. They don't have my sense of humor. Get it? Priest molesting kids? Ha! Ha! Now, Michael P. Castrato. All right, let's get back to this black biker rally. See, I'm all in favor of civil rights. I'm all in favor. If a guy wants to get up off of his fat butt, and you know, with a lot of our African-American friends, they're a little bit wider than most. And get a job, that's the best civil rights I know. Now, these bikers are saying that they were discriminated against in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Well, as I said, I've lived here a long time. Myrtle Beach is a beautiful, beautiful place to live. The buses run on time. Beautiful little snack shop down the street. You got a five and dime. Kid can walk down to the store, get himself an ice cream cone, and not be molested by some spooky-looking guy from out of town. When black motorcyclists invade our town, and I'm going to say something the liberals won't like, it scares some people. We know that traditionally South Carolina has been a hostile breeding ground for racists, Klansmen, all kinds of Aryan Nation types. And the blacks come in here with a chip on their shoulder. Why? We treat everybody equal.
Sure, we've got a few sitting around the log pile there, Wednesday night, bowling night. I don't know what they're doing. Don't blame me for it. Guy going down the street in a late model Plymouth with the Confederate flag on a bumper. It doesn't mean he's a racist. So I'd suggest my African-American friends and take some advice from my very, very, very good friend, Boogie McGee, who is one of the most prominent conservative black talk show hosts in the business. That's right, he's an African-American. He's a proud member of the Republican Party. We bring him along on fishing trips so people can see that we're not racist. Boogie McGee has always said, well, let's let Boogie tell you himself. Boogie, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. I'll say Republicans always treat me good. I have never had no problem with them. And the Republican Party is great. You got that $500?
It'll be in the mail.
Thank you.
That's Boogie McGee running for Congress out of Oklahoma.
Ah, yes, the sounds of the Irish lilting through your living room. Hello, this is Father James McWhorter again for the Pug's new double CD called I May Be Irish, But I've Still Got 200 Proof Applejack in My Veins. Yes, you can pull up this wonderful, you can just sit around and pull one to this great music.
Well, I love to live with Maggie McGee out on the hillside with me.
Doesn't it make you want to spit up? All new recordings from Dublin Sound, available now on CD. Now back to the Michael B. Castrada Show.
All right, so that's what I've got to say. And if any of you people don't like it, you can write my website. That's www. We got the W part, but we haven't yet got the rest. And when we do, you be sure to log on to that. Because I want to know how you feel about letting these people do that stuff in our town, even though we don't like them, whoever they are. And remember, George Bush is our man. The United States military forever. No more of that affirmative action. We hate women, but we love them. Annika Sorumstam, I hope you die and burn and rot in hell. And let's just call the spade a spade right now. And I know my friend Boogie would understand when I say that.
I know it's not no racial thing.
Thank you, Boog. These LPGA women that are trying to get on the national tour are lesbians. And I think we need to let the young women know who want to go into the golf game. You young ladies out there that want to be professional golfers, you know as well as I do that the LPGA is populated with lesbians. Predatory lesbians looking to take advantage of our young women. Young women who all they want to do is swing a golf club. And meanwhile, predatory lesbians are looking to have our young women throw a football around in a motel during Dinosaur Weekend. It's a disgrace.
This has been the Michael P. Castrado Show. Email your comments to your station manager, Michael P. Castrado, the foremost conservative voice in conservative talk radio. I'm sorry, quit moving the cue card. I can't see that. Foremost conservative talk. That's what I thought I said. Michael P. Castrado, broadcasting live from wherever he said. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And now back to the Phil Hendry Show. We'll have more in just a few moments.
I'm Father James McWhorter.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up, Vernon Dozier, high school history teacher, math teacher, football coach on Annika Sorenstam and her play in the Colonial. The first woman to play with the guys on the PGA Tour in 58 years. Looking at the poll on our home site, on our website, should the Brolins' next-door neighbors in Malibu be allowed to add on to their home, thus blocking the Brolins' Mountain View? That is, should Barbara Streisand and James Brolin's neighbors, the Jacobsons in Malibu, should be allowed to add on to their home, thus blocking the mountain view that Barbara and James have, and leave them with a paltry, rotten, stinking ocean view? You can log in on our website, www.philhendryshow.com. Tell us whether you agree yes or whether you don't agree no. And right now, the yes votes are running 66% to the no votes 34%. And I got to tell you, I don't believe you guys. I think you're voting against the Brolins just because of their celebrity status. And I think that's wrong.
I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to just tell you, I think it's wrong. I think you shouldn't be prejudiced against them. Wait a minute. Are you people telling me you're prejudiced against them because they're rich? Why, you dirty, no good ingrates. The music that Barbara Streisand gave you, the film work that James Brolin has delivered timelessly, impeccably down through the years, the beauty that they brought into your lives, and you are wishing ill on them because they're famous and because they're celebrities? Is that what's going on with you people voting on my homepage? Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted and I'm disappointed in you. That does it. I don't want any of you buying any more stuff from my souvenir shop at www.philhenryshow.com. None of you are allowed to buy the Ted's Beverly Hills shot glass or bowling shirt, your choice. None of you will be allowed to buy the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug or the jacket or the baseball caps, your choice, with Father's Day coming up. None of you will be allowed to buy any of that stuff. Don't go to that website. Do not go into the souvenir room and do not buy anything for your dad for Father's Day from my website, from my souvenir shop, delivery guaranteed between 4 and 6 weeks. No, you may not. No, you may not. All right, now, I started talking about Lacey Peterson last hour because we found some stuff that I didn't think I was able to get into it. And I really wanted, I know you've heard a lot about this story, but listen to this, will you? Because, you know, there's so much stupidity that goes along with these big stories about murder. Now they got a mystery woman. Have you heard the latest? Now the defense says they got a mystery woman and she's going to be able to exonerate him. Well, maybe they do, maybe they don't. Frankly, they don't, but okay, let's say that they do. Whatever. You may be interested in some of the insights of people who know a little bit about pregnancy and what it means to a woman's life expectancy at the hands of a husband. Now, this is disturbing. Fortunately, it is not a majority of the time, but nonetheless, there is a disturbing number of women who are murdered while they're pregnant by their husbands and by their boyfriends. I mentioned last hour, according to a 2001 study in the Journal of American Medicine, 20% of Maryland women who died during pregnancy were murdered. 20%! Now, according to Cheryl Cates, who's the executive director of the National Domestic Violence Hotline, there are hormone changes that a woman experiences. Emotionally, she may cry a lot, which may be irritating and frustrating. If you already have a situation where the relationship is volatile, you got an escalation of violence that leads to death. Sometimes pregnancy can make husbands or boyfriends feel ignored. Soon the pregnant wife and unborn child become obstacles, not sources of happiness that can actually lead to premeditated murder. There can be an affair going on. Well, is that right? There can be an affair going on where the husband or boyfriend are getting a lack of sexual gratification and they venture out, fall in love, and feel like they have to get rid of the wife. That, according to Todd Burke, who's an associate professor of criminal justice at Radford University and a former Maryland police officer. But there really is no typical motive in cases like these. Sometimes the actions are money-driven. We all remember Ray Carruth. Ray Carruth was a player for the Carolina Panthers of the NFL. Ray Carruth had his girlfriend murdered because he did not want to have to pay child support for his out-of-wedlock child. Then there was Charles Stewart. Charles Stewart was one of the all-time pieces of garbage in the history of this kind of thing. Charles Stewart was a Massachusetts man who killed his pregnant wife in 1989 and then committed suicide before he could be formally charged. His younger brother said he did it for the insurance money. Now, Charles Stewart said that two black guys carjacked him, killed his wife, and then Charles Stewart actually turned the gun on himself and shot himself to make it look like one of these so-called black guys killed him or shot him. Now, one of the things about the insurance money that's misleading is a lot of couples take out insurance money when the wife is pregnant. It's smart because suddenly you go from like partying all the time because you're newly married and just having a good time to, you know, now we got a kid. Maybe we better start thinking about the future a little bit. Sometimes the husband or boyfriend feels the stress of having a family. A lot is made out of the insurance policy. Most families never see trouble coming. Charles Stewart's in-laws stood by him to the bitter end until he committed suicide. Then they realized what a piece of work he was. Our suspicions were never aroused, said Carl Diamante, Carol Stewart's brother. Up until the moment Chuck took his life, we thought there was somebody else out there who had committed the murder. These guys are good, man. They're good. These sociopaths are real good. You'd swear to God, man, they wouldn't say crap if they had a mouthful of it. You'd swear to God, you're looking right at this guy, ask him dead on, did you kill your wife? And he'd have you believe that not only did he not kill his wife, but that he is funding an orphanage somewhere in, Dublin. And not only that, he's got to get on the plane and go down and treat the leper colony in Africa. He's that sweet of a guy. He'd have you believe in it. Aside from basic motivations, the people who kill pregnant women do not fit a particular profile. Experts say they cross racial barriers and can be upstanding citizens with no prior criminal record. And according to the most recent statistics, more than 33% of all the women slain nationwide in the year 2000 were killed by intimate partners. Man, that's spooky. Now, if 33% of the women were killed by intimate partners, how many of them were pregnant? Some experts suspect that many more pregnant women may be in danger and even dying because they keep the domestic abuse secret. Now, here's something else. Of the 33% of the women that were killed by husbands and partners, we don't know how many of them were pregnant. You want to know why? Because in most states, when a woman is killed, when a woman's murdered, they never put on the death certificate whether she was pregnant or not. They just say one dead woman. So how many of those women were pregnant? You're not going to find out, see? This is why you want to listen to these lawyers pulling out mysterious woman with a floppy hat and the hippie did that and the devil worshiper and the 666. You go right ahead. You go right ahead. The cops know what's up. There's an MO. There's a profile, baby. There's the statistics right here. Like the man said, the figures don't lie, okay? Now, speaking of the numbers not lying, let's go back to our poll. Should the Brolin's next-door neighbors be allowed to add on to their home blocking the Brolin's mountain view? I've hit refresh. And I will tell you in just a moment, it's 65% now believe yes. Phil Henry Show, we'll be right back.
This is the Phil Henry Show.
Annika Sorenstam, you may know the name. She's making history, the first woman in 58 years to be playing alongside the men in a PGA tournament. A woman competing with men on an equal playing field, playing the same tees as the guys are playing. She finished one over par. She is 74th. You need to be in the low 70s or at 70 to make the cut to play over the weekend. She's doing way better than anybody expected that she would. And we have on the line with us Vernon Dozier. He is a athletic coach. Really, Vernon, you do a lot of everything over at Belmar Academy. Basketball is one. I know that you're coaching the girls right now, right, for your summer league?
That is correct, Phil, yeah. And we have a golf class that we're going to be inaugurating next year as well. So we do do a lot of different things here. It's a private school, and we're very blessed with very generous parents who help us put that together.
Tell me about your opposition to Annika Sorenstam playing in this tournament.
Well, Phil, let me start by saying I am a big supporter of women's rights. I believe 100%. We want to keep the women of America from being hurt, and we want to keep the women of America and the world, really, from making what we think is a very big mistake, and that will only hurt them economically, and all the forward movement that they have done.
But you're totally against Annika playing the Colonial?
Absolutely I am, Phil. And I say unabashedly, because if she does badly, if Annika Sorenstam does badly, and there are all indications she might, despite today's round, this whole women's rights movement that we've been talking about for the last 30 years is going to blow right up in their faces. It is going to blow up. It's only going to hurt them if she goes out there and hits into the grandstands, or she hits into the parking lot, or she does very bad. Because the pressure, that's what does it. And I can tell you, and I'm a man, and I've been in so many situations. I was teeing off in the second round. We had our annual tournament over here at Los Serranos for the Kiwanis Club, and the pressure just gets to you. This is only going to hurt women. And I don't want that to happen, Phil, because I am a very, very big fan of equal rights for women.
But you, okay, if she does badly.
That is absolutely right.
But what if she does well?
I can tell you, Phil, it is a chance you don't want to take. Look, the chance that she's going to do well is very slim. The chance that she's going to make the cut is very slim. I say it's like 1 in 100 she'll even make the cut. She can't compete with the men. All right? If she did well, then she does well. It ain't going to happen. She's going to do badly if she keeps this up. and the women are going to look like fools. They're going to have egg all over their face. Now, Annika Sorenstam is a young woman who is a good golfer as long as she stays in her own neck of the woods, as long as she stays in her own neighborhood. But now she wants to play with the big boys. And I'm going to tell you right now, Phil, she is going to get her rear end handed to her, and she's only going to hurt the women's movement.
All right, Ms. Doge, you think her playing damages the women's movement. I want to say that I think it helps gain respect for the women's game and women's sport in general, that they're coming to some kind of a realistic competitive level.
Well, it's a good thing if she does well. Like I said, I support women's sports. Myself and Bob Blown, we helped put together the Virginia Slims Tennis Classic. We did. And we love the gals. We love to see them out there. I'll tell you something else, Phil. I support the LPGA 100%, and it is no secret that a lot of these gay gals are out there, and it doesn't bother me because I support the whole equality of the gays. And I drove by one of the motels during the Dinah Shore, and they're throwing a football around. They're having a great time. But if she screws up, if this Anita Sorenstam screws up and doesn't make the cut or hits the ball into a snack bar or she's looking for a ball in the parking lot under a car, if she does that, then you have begun the process whereby young women will be laughed at when they say they want to go to college. When they say...
You're talking about women's right when women want to go to college. When
the entire progress that women have made is in jeopardy if this Sorenstam... woman goes out there and makes a monkey out of every woman out there, and there is every indication that she will. I'm completely against it, Phil, because I'm in favor of women's rights. Now, try to get your average woman to understand that. I am against Annika Sorenstam because I'm in favor of women's rights.
All right, I'm going to take a break here. Just give the phone number, then I want to ask you another couple of questions. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier is not only a football and basketball coach at Belmar Academy in South Pasadena, he's also a high school golf coach. And we're talking about Annika Sorenstam. It is his opinion that her entry into the Colonial is actually hurting women's rights. And how do you feel about that? Is it hurting the rights of women? Will it push women back if she does badly? Or does it not really matter? Why do you believe... that, you know, you've proposed some kind of self-regulation, haven't you, that women self-regulate?
Yes, I have, Phil.
Tell me about that. You've proposed women keep each other from entering these tournaments.
Absolutely. I would rather the men not have to deal with it. I don't want to have the men deal with it. What I'd like to see, and I suggested this to Becky Vrason over at the LPGA, what you could do, what the women could do, is keep each other in tow, keep each other from entering these tournaments and possibly making themselves and every woman in America look like a complete idiot. Keep each other out so the men don't have to step in. Because if we step in, we have to get tough, and we don't want to get tough. But I would say that...
You're saying the women keep each other out of playing in these tournaments just...
Yeah, they should have meetings and tell each other, look, we don't want to look like monkeys here, all right? Let's play in our own tournaments. Let's get good. Let's not get into these men's tournaments, because if somebody screws up in one of these tournaments, we are going to look like baboons. And then the men are going to step in. And if the men step in, then the heavy hammer comes down, and you don't want that to happen.
Well, what do you mean?
I'm sorry?
What do you mean the heavy hammer? What do you mean the men are going to step in and get tough?
Well, we're just going to demand that our wives and our girlfriends are not allowed to play in these tournaments. That's all there is to it. And the other things include tennis. And then what's going to happen, the gay gals, these lesbians, won't have enough people for a tournament, and they'll have to call it off. Now, that's what's going to happen if the straight...
You're saying that straight husbands and boyfriends will keep their wives and girlfriends from playing in the LPGA, and then there won't be enough women to play, and the lesbians that are left over will have to call it off.
They'll have to go home. Now, can you imagine showing up for a golf tournament, there's not enough people to play, and you got to go back out to the parking lot, put your bag in the car, and go, well, this isn't any fun, and you got to leave. Now, I will say this again, and I want to be very clear. I am 1,000% in favor of women's rights. I'm 1,000% in favor of all the gals that are gay, all the gay gals, and whoever wants to play on the ladies' tour. I'm simply saying that this Anita Sorenstam is going to make women's rights go away if she goes out and screws up.
Well, you didn't really address my question.
What if she does well?
What if she does well? What if this woman, and I got to tell you something, Mr. Dozier, she went out today, shot a 71. She's one, I don't know what the 71, she's one over par. I think par is 70 on the course. So she shot a 71. It was outstanding. The over-under in Vegas was 76. There were some people taking bets she would shoot in the 80s. If she goes out and has a similar round tomorrow, she will could very well make the cut.
Well, look, I think it's fantastic the progress that the women have made over the years, getting equal pay, being able to vote, all of these wonderful things. I'm simply saying that if this woman goes out and blows it, all of that disappears because this Anita gal decided she wanted to go out and be one of the guys. And boy, is that selfish. That is just selfish. Because she wants to put on a pair of pants, and she wants to know what it's like to wear a sports shirt and daddy's shoes. And I think that is so selfish.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go to Julie in Little Rock. Julie, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, how you doing?
Very good, ma'am. You're on with Vernon Dozier, Belmar Academy.
Well, I just wanted to, I don't know. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous because she's getting out there. She's doing her best. She's, you know, whether she does good or bad and everything, she's not doing anything to hurt women's lives at all.
Well,
at all,
but Julie, this is Vernon. I would ask you to consider that if she goes out and she butchers up the course and you pull into the golf tournament and you see Anita Sorenstam looking for her ball under a car, what are you going to think? You're going to be embarrassed for women. You're going to be embarrassed for yourself.
No, I'm not. I mean, it's no different than a man getting out there. Any man that thinks that they can do that.
But men don't.
And everything,
the pros,
she has the chance to do that.
But the
she has the confidence.
Right, but the professional men don't do that.
Well,
why don't they?
I mean, there's men out there that think they can, but they can't.
But the men never hit the ball so badly it goes into a parking lot. I'm saying you got a woman.
Did she do that? Did she do that already?
Not yet, no. Not
well,
yet.
Well, then what makes you think she's going to do it?
Exactly. Why would you anticipate it?
Because she's a woman playing under a lot of pressure. let me tell you something. I have been in golf tournaments. You got 100 people staring at you, teeing off. You can shank that thing pretty good. The next thing you know, you're looking for it up near the snack shack. It's bouncing down an asphalt cart path, and it's never going to be found. So I can tell. See what I'm saying, Julie? In other words, you pull up as a proud woman, and you see Anita Sorenstam, and she's crawling under a car looking for her ball.
Okay, great. She's in there. She's giving it her best shot. You know, I'm not embarrassed by that.
Julie.
You know, it's ridiculous to think that the women's movement is going to be affected by
Julie,
a woman playing golf.
Sweet Pea, do you have respect at work, or do you want to... What do? Do you fetch coffee? And
I'm a truck driver.
Okay. God bless you.
I'm a truck driver.
God bless you.
I get out here and do the same thing that my husband does every day.
I'll tell you something. Anita Sorenstam does badly in this tournament, and you're going to find some guy's greasy hand grabbing you by the shirt and pulling you out of the cab of that truck. It's as simple as that.
Why?
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 Because,
I mean, come on, give me a good reason.
I'll tell you why. Because slowly but surely, people will start to say, see, they can't do it. They can't do it. We knew they couldn't do it, and they can't do it.
They've been saying that for years.
Yeah.
They've been saying that for years.
Absolutely.
I mean, it doesn't make any difference now because the women they don't care.
Someone's going to reach up into that cab, grab you by the lapels, and say, okay, Sweet Pea, time for the big boys to work, and pull you right out of there.
I don't think so.
Well, I can tell you that what this Sorenstein woman is doing is not good for the women's liberation movement.
All right. Good points there, Julie. Thank you for calling. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier with us, athletic coach at Belmar Academy on, he keeps calling her Anita, Annika Sorenstam, who is in the PGA Colonial today, tomorrow, and if she makes the cut this weekend, the first woman in 58 years to play on an equal level with men, and she did a pretty good job today. Mr. Dozier, though, feels that no woman should be competing with men on that level, because if they do badly, it sets women's rights back decades. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Extremism.
Thank you.
866. The Bill Henry Show is back.
We're talking about Annika Sorenstam making history this weekend. First woman in the PGA Tour in the 58-year history. Let me take that back. First woman in 58 years to play equally on the PGA Tour with men. She shot a 71 today. Vernon Dozier is athletic coach at Belmar Academy. You coach young ladies in basketball, Vernon, as well as golf?
Well, I'm familiar with young female athletes, Phil, and I know they want to achieve all that they can. But I tell the young girls that I coach, I say, look, play within yourself. Always be proud of the way you play. And don't waste time and energy thinking that you're ever going to be, playing with guys. Just concentrate on your own game. And the golf, in our golf program, we have won three girls' high school titles in the time I've been coaching. We're very proud of that.
Congratulations.
We are very proud of that, Phil. But I always tell my gals, look, if you want to get into the professional game thinking you're going to play with men, then you might as well put on an apron, go home and wait for some guy to call to make you barefoot and pregnant, because you're going to drag women back into the caveman era. All right.
Now, I want to get to some phone calls. Did you say this at a recent meeting, athletic conference, that you are surprised, you were quoted in a paper saying, you're surprised that any woman would want to support Annika. She's a woman who wants to, quote, stick a banana in her pants and play man for a weekend. Did you say that?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Are you and you feel?
I think women would be furious with this woman Sorenstam.
But put a banana in her pants and play man.
Absolutely. When you want to get out and play golf with the guys, okay, good for you. Go ahead and get yourself a cucumber. If I was a woman, I would be very upset.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Go to Sue. Hello, Sue. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I think he ought to be ashamed of himself. I think he's afraid that a woman can do the job just as well as a man.
No, ma'am. No, that,
oh,
no.
Oh, yes.
No,
yes.
I support women. I support women's
no,
rights.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't. You want to stick us in your little spot in our little cubbyhole and pull us out whenever it's good for you. I'm an over-the-road truck driver. I've done it for 13 years. I do not have a man help me. And a man's not going to take my job.
Ma'am,
and I'm not out here to take a man's job.
I think it's great what you're doing. I think driving is, anybody can drive, but what
oh,
you're
yeah?
doing is... Well,
you try it sometime.
Well, so what do? I turn
that's
the key
just
and
like, I can't play golf, but more power to her. If she can play just as well as the men, why shouldn't she play with the men?
But she can't. And
how
the
do
only
you know?
Thing she's...
She did darn well today.
She did do very well, Sue. She shot a 71, Mr. Dozier.
Okay, Mr. Henry, you can hang on to that 71. Hug it like it's the Holy Grail.
Hey.
Because tomorrow she's going to blow out a round. She's going to butcher up
oh,
a hole.
Oh, you know that?
Oh,
yeah, if I'm not mistaken, Tiger Woods did, too.
Ma'am, Tiger Woods...
He just barely pulled himself through in one of the tournaments recently.
He's the greatest golfer in the history of the game.
Yeah,
what are you
I know he's good. He's very good.
So you're trying to say
but
that...
But he's had his bad days, too.
You're trying to say that blacks shouldn't play.
No, I'm not
okay,
saying blacks
no,
shouldn't
she
play.
Didn't say that at all.
Well, why is she picking on Tiger?
Hey,
because
he happens to be one that I've heard of because I don't follow this golf.
Look.
I don't have anything to do with golf.
How do you know that Miss Sorenstam can't do as good as the guy?
Look, she had beginner's...
That's right.
She had beginner's luck.
Yeah?
In a man's tournament, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you this, and I mean this, Sue, because I'm very proud of you for what you do. You watch this Sorenstam woman go out there, hack it up, butcher up the course, and you're going to lose that job to some, who knows,
no, I'm not.
A midget. Well, okay, good luck. Ma'am, I'm just saying, once this Anita drives a ball into the goose pond, you won't be driving a truck anymore.
Ridiculous.
No,
it's not going to stop me. She's doing what she wants to do, and it's... She's given the opportunity, and that's where our rights come in, to be given the opportunity to do what we want to do instead of some man saying, you've got to be in the kitchen barefoot and pregnant.
I agree with you.
We've
I agree.
Proved we
but
can
go
do
slowly.
More than that.
Go slowly. Otherwise, all of the gains you've
go
made,
slowly.
You're going to be back.
You want. We've
not,
been doing this for 100 and some years.
You need to go slower. And I'll tell
no.
you something, ma'am. This
no.
Sorenstam woman... Do you want the men to take over this situation? I'm asking the women to self-regulate.
There's not a man going to take over this situation.
We're going to have to take it over.
Beyond that.
You know, you want to keep your eyes on the road because you're scaring me now.
All right, listen, Sue, thank you. I got to take a break or go to another call. 1-800-449-8686. Jane, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Well, I guess the main comment that I wanted to make was that I think that the comments so far have indicated a very unsportsmanlike attitude, because certainly there are many men that have competed in the sport and have not done well, and you're implying that they really haven't been worth anything because they didn't win. It's not whether you win, it's how you play the game, and if she supports herself well and does a good job and does her best, you know, I realize there's some controversy about having women compete, but hey, if she's got the gumption to go out there and try, let her try. I don't really see what the problem is.
Jane, this is Vernon. Can I ask you a question? When you were a little girl, did you read Mother Goose and the Brothers Grimm and all of that?
No, I didn't.
You didn't read fairy tales?
No, actually, I didn't.
Okay, well, did you read Dr. Seuss? Anything like that?
Yeah, I read Dr. Seuss.
Okay. I'd stick with that because it's far more believable
that
there are green eggs and ham than Anita Sorenstein is going to go out there and not hack that course to bits. Look, you're missing the point. Annika's best may ruin any hopes you have of making a decent income, is all I'm trying to say. And I think it's important, ma'am, for you to recognize that I forget the name now.
Sorenstam.
I'm sorry that she's going to butcher that course to bits.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Will Annika Sorenstam doing badly push women's rights back decades? 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Dozier believes that. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
If you saw Silence of the Lambs.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry with Vernon Dozier. You're going to address a National Council of High School Coaches about the Annika Sorenstam situation tomorrow, and you believe that she should not be allowed to play because she is dragging women's rights backward for her playing in this PGA tournament.
That is correct, Phil.
All right, now I want to ask you a question. You said that the LPGA charter has something in it which encourages women to somehow act like men, or they can be men, or what is that?
No. What I said was, and I said this in front of a luncheon that I was chairing for the National Coaches Clinic, I said that the LPGA encourages a kind of competitive level that makes the atmosphere friendly, or makes the atmosphere conducive to women imagining themselves to be masculine. The proof of that, I think, Phil, is the influx over the last several years of the homosexual, the lesbian. Now, again, you can say what you want, but this Sorenstam woman is a large woman, a muscular woman. And I would bring up the film Silence of the Lambs if you ever saw it. It's a stupid movie about a serial murderer, but it has a very interesting scene in it, and one that I have...
All right, we lost the... Are you there, sir?
I'm right here, Phil. I'm sorry. In one of the scenes, the actor pulls it back and puts it between his legs, is what I'm trying to say.
We had to cut out a lot of that, but what you're saying is he tries to create the illusion that he looks like a woman?
That's right. Now, if you have any of these gals out there who have been able to do that, fold it down and put it between their legs, you got a problem.
All right, let me go to Randy here. Randy, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
I'm old school, you know, like I'm 54 years old, and I know, as a natural fact, men are stronger than women and so forth, but one of the things that I've seen from Annika this week is I haven't seen that Billie Jean chip-on-the-shoulder attitude from Annika. And
well, I agree.
I need some clarification here, because your guest, Mr. Dozier, who keeps calling Annika Anita, and even in any Swedish interpretation,
right,
or American interpretation, Annika does not interpret to Anita.
I'm sorry. Sometimes I
can't remember her last name. So I'm wondering if he's on a 12-pack or whatever. And he needs to quit crossing over, or he needs to clarify, is he calling Annika Sorenstam a lesbian and a homosexual on your national
show? Right, yeah.
I want him to clarify that now.
No, sir, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm saying it's possible that she has been overly indoctrinated into the LPGA lesbian atmosphere to think she's a man, or, and what is more disturbing, is she masculine in gender? In other words,
are you saying this is some kind of one of those scandals in the 60s where the East German track women actually were men? Is that what you're saying?
I'm simply, the gentleman's name is Randy?
Yes.
Yes, Randy.
Have you seen the film Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah.
All right. Do you remember when he pushed it back and he was dancing in front of the mirror?
Yeah.
One of those deals.
Okay. You know, hey,
wow.
I don't know if you know very much about a woman's mass, you know, physiology, her, the lungs are smaller, you know, red blood cells and so forth, and the muscle mass.
I've been married. So, I've been married
but,
5 years.
You know, a woman can get in an exercise gym and lift weights and cause herself to become 20 to 30% larger in muscle mass, like Annika has done, without being some kind of queer.
I didn't say that she was some kind of queer. I said,
well,
we
you
may
keep
be...
insinuating that. You keep loving her with a homosexual.
No, I'm saying
Phil, we may be involved
in something.
Now. Is Annika not a married woman?
Annika Sorenstam is a married female, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. So Mr. Henry knows. Is that right, Mr. Henry? You've been in a bedroom with her?
No, I have not. I know that she's married to David Eshes. Is that his name? He's a golfer? Or I think he's her caddy.
I don't know, but if I was him and I was listening to this show, I'd be...
Boy, no kidding.
No, I'm saying, is it possible that, like that guy in Silence of the Lambs, she folds it back?
No, it's not possible.
Seriously, I feel sorry for you guys because you're so easily duped into thinking that everything is as it seems.
The only thing I can say about you and your reasoning right now, and I'm as old school as they get. You know, I'm a Christian, I'm the right winger, but I think you're on a 12-pack or something tonight, man.
You're saying I'm drunk.
Well, you're saying...
You sound it. I'm serious. You sound drunk.
Okay,
you can't even remember the woman's name?
I know.
She's the greatest golfer, probably a woman's golfer in history.
You notice you said woman's golfer. You didn't say golfer. You said woman's golfer because even you know she's gonna get her ass kicked. And if she does,
God, how many asses did she kick today of men?
You got that right. You answered me that right here on national television. That's right. She kicked
radio.
A lot of hackers. A lot of guys that are club pros. They wouldn't.
You call them hackers, but you could. Did you hack with them? They're on the PGA Tour, man.
They're
did
a
you
lot.
Hack with them.
These guys are club pros. You could go out for a. You talk about a 12-pack. All you got to do.
You are so uninformed
Absolutely.
About professional golf. It is pitiful. How did you get on a show like this,
sir?
I'm simply
I'm in favor of women's rights. I want women to do better.
You trumpet that. You say it, but, you know, you're no more in favor of women's rights than Saddam Hussein.
All right, I said to the last lady, and she wouldn't answer my question. You pull up to that tournament, you see Annika Sorenstam crawling through a closet looking for her ball. She's inside the clubhouse thinking she hit it into the restaurant. You going to feel good about her then? No, you will not.
Well, you're creating a hypothetical situation. It ain't going to happen.
It ain't going to happen. She's a pro.
You don't even understand it.
What do you mean I don't understand? I was in the Kiwanis tournament over here for the Boy Scouts.
Oh, Kiwanis tournament. Oh, I'm so impressed.
Hey, look, you watch this gal on
TV. That is so near a PGA tournament.
Well, wait a minute.
I'm so impressed.
Do you golf? Yeah.
I've shot 800 par and set a course record before. Do you golf?
You shot 800.
You want me to get the country club that you can call and verify it?
Yeah,
I will. On national radio.
You're damn right, because I'll take my clothes off and walk out in the middle of the street out here if you're right. What's the name of it?
Hidden Valley Country Club.
Hidden Valley Country Club.
In Clever, Missouri, that's outside Springfield, Missouri.
And ask him
if Randy Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, did not shoot 8 under par on July 16th, 1983.
And what is the name of the city again?
Clever.
Clever?
C-L-E-V-E-R.
Oh, C-L-E.
Clever, Missouri.
And you say you shot 8 under par and broke the course record.
I didn't say I was a pro. I said as an amateur, I shot 800 par and set the course record.
Here's what I'm talking about. What's the name of that course again? What is it? Hidden
Valley Country Club.
Do you know what that sounds like? It sounds, sir.
I don't feel to hold you to this that you're going to go out naked.
You're gonna, yeah.
I want your partner that you're going to do this.
That sounds like a gay bar. That's what it sounds like.
You see what how does? Redneck you are?
Absolutely.
I told you I'm a Christian right winger, man.
No, Hidden Valley Country Club. Where do we take a shower? Sir, what I'm saying,
I'll quit being a child.
Yards.
Don't be a child. The fact of the matter is that Ms. Sorensen.
Are you going to call him? Are you going to call him and verify it?
I'll call him up. You know what I'll do? I'll do you one better. If Mr. Hendry will allow me the offices of his radio program, I'll call them on the air and ask them.
I don't want you to be embarrassed.
No, I'll call.
Get them tonight.
I'll call them on the air.
If you get off the air, I'll give you my phone number. If you'll verify it and call me back.
Well, we won't be able to do it because it's six. They're probably closed right now in Texas. So
well, they'll be open in the morning, pal.
They won't be open in the morning if you want to call
it's
them.
It's Missouri.
All right, I'll
call. You're drinking a 12-pack. Hey. I told you twice it's Missouri, and you're calling it Texas.
Hey, Hidden Valley's gay talk for. They might as well call it the butt. They might as well call it the Hidden Valley butt.
Bill, let me talk to you.
Look, I gotta take a break. I thank you for your call, though, sir. 1-800-449-8686. Roxy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Jesus.
Hi, sir.
Hi, ma'am.
How are you?
I'm good. And we're on Vernon. You there?
I'm right here. I wrote the phone number down at this place. Hidden
I'm
Valley.
Sorry. Pardon me.
Who's this?
This is Roxy, sir.
Yes, Roxy. This is Vernon Dozier.
You know, sir, I think I'm going to have to kick myself later, but I actually do agree with you in the fact that.
Thank you.
There is the LPGA. No, I'm not agreeing with you on every standpoint.
No, but you recognize the essential truthfulness of what I'm saying. Women need to just stay.
No, I'm not going to go that far, sir. What I'm going to tell you is there is the LPGA and there's the PGA. Traditionally, the LPGA is for women and the PGA is for men.
Well, that's what I used to think. That's what I used to think.
I believe that women should play in the LPGA. Men should play in the PGA. However, what I am curious to know, sir, is what are you afraid of? Are you afraid that
I'm afraid that women are going to be hurt?
No.
I'm afraid that women are going to be hurt by this because when she goes out and hacks the crap out of that course, people are going to look at women anew and say, you know what, maybe they don't deserve the extra opportunities. Maybe they don't deserve the extra promotion because look what this, and I guess I'll screw her name up again.
An Annika Sorenstam.
Annika
you
Sorenstam.
You know what, sir, I don't think you're afraid for women at all.
Yes, I am.
Because the way you've referred to women the entire evening, sir, with no disrespect, you're bashing them all on your own.
Ma'am, I'm not.
What they need to do, sir, that will make you happy and lower your blood pressure is have just a golf tournament, not an LPGA,
hey,
not a PGA, and then we'll see who, you know, she might just show you up.
No, there's no way.
Then what are you going to say?
Let me say this. I could get out right now, okay, and I took shrapnel in Vietnam, so I walk, one leg is shorter than the other. And I could get out today, and if you give me 4 strokes, I could beat her.
Oh, bull.
Okay, sir.
No, you
perhaps
give me 4 strokes.
You should
bull
take that as
crap.
A challenge, then.
Roxy, I like you. I don't want to see you slopping moons over my mammy for the rest of your days in some diner.
You know what, sir? Actually, I don't think I'll ever find myself doing that, but for those people that do work in diners, all the power to them, because sometimes you have to eat. Okay.
Well, ma'am, I am saying that you are a great gal, and I'd like to see. What are you doing for a living right now?
You know, sir, I used to be a flight attendant, a predominantly female occupation.
Exactly. Do you
want
to go back
to? Guess what I used to work with men, but guess what I do now, sir?
What's that, ma'am?
I'm a trained firefighter.
Good for you, because if Annika Sorenstam hacks that course to pieces, you're going to be back having some passenger in 8C rubbing your rear end as you're walking by with a tray full of coffee cups, and you can't
do it. I don't think, sir. I'm trained as a firefighter. I don't think that I'll ever be back.
You better hope that
in the cabin, sir. But you know what? I think
that
you're scared of women
over my hammy thing.
You're scared of women because we actually can compete with
absolutely.
You, and sometimes
yep.
we can actually do better. Okay.
Well, all right.
You really need to stop bashing women.
Well, what are you saying? You're in a man's job right now. You're in a man's job. So what do they have you do? Hold the hose?
Actually, what dictates it as a man's job, sir?
Well, first of all, you know as well as I do that most female firefighters are the ones that are in charge of turning on the water.
I would actually disagree with you, sir.
Wait a minute. The lady does this for a living, Mr. Dozier. How do you know?
What is she going to do? She turns
what
the water on.
What am I
going to
do, sir? Well,
and you hold
if you're ever in a fire, sir, I might have to pull your sorry ass out of there.
Wait a minute.
I might think twice, though.
Aren't you the guys that are supposed to turn the faucet on and off?
Actually, no, sir. I'm going to pull 250 pounds out of the burning building.
Yeah.
How much do you weigh, sir?
And you get to go for truck rides, as far as I know.
You know what, Mr. Dozier? You are being a smartass on purpose. I've just figured this out. And you don't want Ms. Sorenstam to win because you just simply don't want women competing. Forget about you being
a... That is
an absolute lie.
No,
I really think he's just scared of women, and that's why he's got to bash them, and he's really bashing a whole lot of people.
Ma'am, you know that female firefighters, their only job is feeding the Dalmatian.
Okay, sir, I hope you're never in a fire, and I hope you're never in an aircraft. And by all means, I hope you're never on a golf course because you know what? Women are one thing. We get even, and we're very good at it,
sir. You give me four strokes and two tanks of oxygen, and I can beat her.
All right.
You know what, sir?
Thank you.
You're going to need oxygen after the women of the world get a hold of you.
Thanks very much, Roxy.
Well, I hope they get a hold of me.
Take care, ma'am.
Roxy, I just want to say one more thing. I hope they get a hold of me.
Yes, sir. And I do agree with you.
I hope they get a hold of me in the right place. I wanted to get that off. That's a good joke that I heard from
you know what, sir?
Tom Edison, who's a friend of mine.
I do agree with you, LPGA versus PGA.
By the way,
sir,
yeah.
I think that you just really need to have a severe attitude adjustment.
No, I want to ask you, in all seriousness,
Fish you out, sir.
Ma'am, in all seriousness, did you get into firefighting just so you could slide down a pole?
You know something?
You know what,
Roxy? If he was in front of you, I wouldn't bother. If you hit him right in the mouth for that.
What? I'm joking around.
That's a crude, rude...
You know what, sir? God, your mother.
Yeah,
feel sorry
no kidding.
When the alarm goes off, don't forget your purse.
What an ass. You know
I carry a purse, sir.
Yeah, I hope
you have a good night, sir.
Yeah.
I hope the women of the world eat you alive and spit you out. Bye-bye.
Well, I don't want them to spit.
All right. Sick bastard. God! Vernon Dozier, who is a girls' basketball and golf coach at a high school here in this area. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. Did you become a firefighter so you could slide down the pole? Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Our website, www.philhendryshow.com. We have a question posed. Forget about the Annika Sorenstam story, the American Idol story. The big news is the next-door neighbors of Barbara Streisand and James Brolin are adding on to their house, which will block the Brolin's view of the mountains in Malibu and leave them with just a lousy ocean view. Do you think the Brolin's next-door neighbors in Malibu should be allowed to add on to their home, thus blocking the Brolin's mountain view, or should they not? Go to our website, www.philhendryshow.com, and vote. Right now, the voting is running 72% yes, they should block their mountain view, 28% no. And, you know, it's so disingenuous of you guys to vote against the Brolins simply because they're celebrities. Think of the wonderful music that Barbara has brought you over the years. Think of Marcus Welby, or not, and then vote accordingly. Or maybe you are already, I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. So, Annika Sorenstam is doing one hell of a job. And the guy that looks like the real jackass now is that Vijay Singh. Doesn't he look like an utter idiot? And not forget about Vijay Singh, because he's just one guy that by the people. Nick Price is the other guy. Nick Price, who is the defending champion of the Colonial, made the comment that Ben Hogan would be spinning in his grave and that Annika Sorenstam's appearance in this tournament, quote, reeks of publicity. There's absolutely no defense for that guy's comment, but then you have to remember, it's a golfer talking. It's a golfer. It's a professional golfer talking. These guys have all the social awareness of a dead fly. Golfers, professional golfers, think of only one thing, their club length. They think of what balls they're going to use and how they're going to place their balls. And whether their club is going to be right for their ball. That's all they ever think about. Ask them about social awareness. Ask them about the greater issues of life. And they don't know. You know, they just want to know if they got their house on the fairway there at Bay Hill. So Nick Price and Vijay Singh have made themselves look like utter jackasses because everybody else has fallen in love with this girl. Everybody else is rooting for her, including a lot of the guys that are playing against her on this on, in this tournament. Everyone is pulling for her. She shot a 71 today, finished the first round of the Bank of America Colonial, tied for 73rd place. And let me tell you something, that may just make the cut. And she's handled the pressure of this historic occasion unbelievably. She hasn't tightened up. She's very animated. She's very volatile. It's a lot of good fun, and it's good for sports. It's really good for golf. Phil Hendry Show. And if you think that I'm saying this just because I want to get in good with women, you're right. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.